public discourse to be followed by a watch hour. So the theme for the public thought this morning is entitled Evidence of God in the World Around Us. And this will be given by a brother, Brian Stilmok, from the North Carolina Gordon Road Congregation. So, Brother Stilmok, you have our attention, please.
What I'd like you to do is to look at the image that I pull up on the screen here. And I want you to look at this for a moment. And here we have a black box. It's made out of some kind of metal. It's completely sealed. There's nothing at all inside that box. There's no light. There's no oxygen. There's no dirt. There's no dust. It's completely empty. And I want you young ones to especially think about this box that has nothing in it. It is empty. We would call it completely empty. So I want you to think about that box for a moment. Now, I want you to think about another picture in your mind. And let me go ahead and pull up this illustration. All right. And in this illustration, here we see a polyudarium, which is basically a terrarium with some water in it. So my question is, if you had an empty box, like we just showed, and you want it to be filled with beautiful plant life, with light, with water, there's little critters running around in there, there's little animals, maybe some little fishes and things like that. My question to you is, how do you get all that stuff into the box? How would it get in there? So would you answer, well, if you leave that box alone for a long, 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 long time, all those things would just kind of materialize on their own. If you gave it enough time, millions and millions and millions of years, eventually that beautiful little ecosystem, including light and oxygen and little ecosystems, eventually they would come about on their own. Does that make sense? Or would you say, well, the only way that those beautiful things could get into that empty space is if somebody from the outside somehow figured out a way to put those things inside that box. Now, which sounds more reasonable? That box just miraculously over time developed these beautiful things, or that someone had to put something, somebody that was outside that box, put those living organisms inside the box. Use your mind. Think about it logically. What would your answer be? Well, today we're not really going to focus a whole lot on empty black boxes and terrariums, but we are going to talk about evidence of God around us. And we'll see how that illustration ties in with our material as we go along today. What we see in the world today is that there are many people that doubt the existence of God. And some even completely reject outright the thought of God. Nevertheless, there's much evidence to prove that there is a creator. And here's why it's so important. Whether or not we believe in a creator profoundly affects the meaning of our lives. It has a profound meaning on how we live our lives, what we think about, what we hope about in the future, how we conduct ourselves right now. It's very, very important. And you young ones in school, many times teachers have just over time been saturated so much with the idea or concept that there is no God and everything just happened on their own. And many times even educators haven't really thought through it, really going back to the beginning of things. And what they end up doing is they're trying to convey to you in school that all these things came about by sheer accident, coincidence, no intelligence involved. And they even will say that science backs up some of these theories. And we're going to see that that's really not the case. You see, creation gives evidence of a creator. We look at the orderliness of the physical world around us, and it helps us to see that there's purpose, there's reason, things are interconnected. And there's a beautiful little illustration found in the scriptures, and see if this sounds reasonable. Let's open our Bibles together. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. And this is such a simple little illustration, but it has such a profound, impactful message that it conveys. Look what it says there. Of course, every house is constructed by someone, but the one who constructed all things is God. Is this true? What does the Bible say? It doesn't say most homes or most houses are constructed by someone, but it says that every house is constructed by someone. And then it builds on that, that all things are constructed by God. So when we look around us, if we see things that look like there's some structure to them, what do we conclude? Well, let me show you another illustration. If you were walking through the woods, and you saw this, okay, if you saw this, you wouldn't think much of it. You'd think, well, maybe, as one brother said at the beginning, before we started our meeting, he said, is that your backyard, Brian? Well, it could be. It's not. But what do you see there? You see some trees that are knocked down, and possibly a storm went through or a strong wind knocked down some trees. You don't think anything of it. Now, what if you go through that same forest and now you see something like this? Okay, what if you see this? Okay, all right, what do you see here? I see some logs that are at an angle here. I see them propped up with these side supports. There's a floor, looks like a floor here. If you saw this very, very simple structure in the woods, what would you do? Well, you would deduct upwards to an intelligent origin. In other words, if you saw that, the first thing you would think is that there was a person there. There was somebody with intelligence that built that structure. It had to be. Every house, even a little simple lean-to, is constructed by someone. And that's how we need to keep using our minds, using our logic, using what we've learned around us when we look at nature and when we look at life. Now, what's interesting, even someone that doesn't believe in God, an atheist, would look at that simple lean-to illustration that we just showed, and they would say, well, of course that was created, made by a person. It took intellect to make that. Well, did you see who made it? No. But you deduce, you look at it, and you can see that there's meaningful structure. And with our minds, we deduce, like I said, upward to the fact that there had to be an intelligent origin. And that's what we want to do. When we look at the world around us, we want to use our minds. And what do? We deduce upwards that there had to be an intelligent origin to the things that we see around us. The physical properties of the universe are fine-tuned. They're just not globbed together, but they are fine-tuned. And we talk about that a lot. We hear this term fine-tuning. We talk about how the universe is fine-tuned and everything works together. If gravitational force was stronger or weaker, if light traveled too fast or too slow, if the strong nuclear force was a little stronger, a little weaker, all these different laws working together, just this precise fine tuning we see in the universe. And we might illustrate it this way. I'm not a musician, I don't play guitar, but if somebody gave you a guitar without any strings, okay, so if they gave you the guitar and here's a package of strings, here's a six-string guitar, here are six strings, okay? Most of us here in the audience could put it together. We could put those strings onto the guitar and twist the little, what is it, the fret? I don't, like I said, I'm not a musician. But anyway, we could get the strings onto that guitar, couldn't we? But where does the real skill and savviness come from to make that guitar perfectly tuned? It takes a master. It takes somebody that really knows music and the right tone, and they just fine tune every one of those strings so that you have an instrument that ends up working the way it's intended to produce beautiful music. So when it comes to fine tuning, that's the real hard thing in life, is fine tuning. People can kind of put things together, but that extra level of fine tuning, that's where real skill comes in to play in life and even the things that we have around us. Our solar system and Earth are precisely located and designed to support life. Fine-tuned. It takes supreme intelligence to get all of those things right. As a matter of fact, there are many individuals that used to be atheists, and as they study just the fine-tuning of the universe, they come to the conclusion that there had to be a mind behind what we see, and the fact that we are able to live in the world, in this earth, like we do. It's perfectly balanced. Also, the origin and complexity of things cannot be reasonably attributed to chance. As an example, we're all familiar with the origin of the species. We've heard of it by Darwin. And you young ones, you've probably heard about it in school, Darwinian evolution. Well, if we go back some hundred years, Darwin, he didn't have a real understanding of just how complex a cell was. There was a time when people thought the cell was just, you know, some goop that got together, and now you got these things called cells. But now that we're able to really dig in with the sophisticated instruments and see what the cell really looks like, it's much more complicated than just some things put together. They are like little factories. This is a nice illustration of what we see in the cell. They are like little factories. You have little parts of that factory that produce things, and other things carry out the waste, and their little cycles. It's like a self-contained factory, every single cell in the body. And 100 plus years ago, people that were scientists didn't realize just how complex the cell is. And then if we dig even deeper, scientists cannot explain how the complex molecules needed for a cell to live and to replicate can come into existence simultaneously. So it's almost like that chicken and the egg. What came first, the chicken or the egg? See, scientists that don't believe in a creator, they can't explain it. They don't have an answer for it. But those of us that believe in a creator know that Jehovah created the chicken produced the eggs. And if we look at what's going on inside of a cell, here's what we want to think about. So living cells, they contain DNA and RNA. Without DNA and RNA, the cell would fail to synthesize the proteins it needs, okay? Yet, without a suite of complex proteins, the cell would fail to synthesize more DNA. It could never divide. And without another suite of complex proteins, the cell couldn't make RNA. No DNA and RNA, no proteins. No proteins, no DNA or RNA. It's the chicken and the egg. You can't have DNA without proteins, and proteins can't come about without DNA. Where did it come from? Scientists that take it from an atheistic standpoint, they have no explanation. They come up with different theories. Every single year, they're coming up with a different theory. It gets tested out, and it's like, this doesn't work. The only reasonable explanation is that there was an intelligence outside of our physical universe, an intelligence that transcends beyond space and time and our material universe, that made these things, that created these things, that designed these things. Yes, the creation reveals some amazing things. And another amazing thing that the creation reveals is some of the qualities of the Creator himself. Let's read together Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 20. Romans 1:20. And notice what it says there. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, "For his invisible qualities are clearly seen from the world's creation onward, because they are perceived by the things made, even his eternal power and Godship, so that they are inexcusable." So what do we see here from this verse? It says here that we learn qualities, invisible qualities. Well, what are some invisible qualities that we notice when we look at creation? Well, one of them is wisdom, isn't it? We can see wisdom in the natural cycles that renew the earth. They're amazing. We also see God's justice reflected in the conscience that he has placed in all humans. We have a conscience. Now, some people have abused their conscience and calloused it, but the majority of people with a somewhat healthy mind, they have a conscience, and that was placed in them, not by some chemical reaction, but by Jehovah God himself, by a designer. Or think about the quality of love. Is it just a combination of chemicals that over millions of years that came together and created this conscious effect that we call love? That makes no sense. Chemicals do not create love. It doesn't work that way. Science does not have anything to indicate, to prove with empirical evidence, that chemicals can produce these deep, rich qualities that are found in human beings: love, justice, wisdom. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, when it comes to science, there's a couple things to keep in mind, especially young ones. Just because somebody says that they are a scientist does not mean that everything they say is scientific. However, if we look at the scriptures, whenever the scriptures talk about something scientific, it's always accurate. Although the Bible is not considered a scientific textbook, when it addresses science, it is absolutely accurate. It's unlike any other book. Example. Think about this for a moment. If we back up not too long ago, if we go to the early 1900s, scientists had this concept, this idea of what's called a static universe. That means there was a belief that the universe was always in existence, that it never had a beginning. The material universe never, ever had a beginning. It's always been there, always been there. That was the prevailing thinking among scientists. Well, the Bible always said at Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the Bible always conveyed the thought that No, the universe had a beginning. Scientists in the early 1900s, oh no, the universe has always been there. The Bible's wrong. Well, guess what? In about late 1920s, this man named Hubble, and there's a telescope. We've heard it, the Hubble telescope. Well, this professor, this scientist, he's the one that was one of the fathers of what we call the Big Bang Theory. And basically what he said, the universe is expanding. So if we reverse it, we get back to a point where, guess what? The universe had a beginning. So Moses, thousands of years ago, said that the earth, the universe had a beginning. It didn't come until the late 1920s that scientists discovered through scientific evidence that the universe indeed had a beginning. And we refer to that, people refer to that as the Big Bang, which basically there was a time when there was no universe. And then in the instant of time, now there is a universe. So it's interesting what the Bible says there. Let's look at another scripture together. Let's go to Isaiah 40, verse 22. Isaiah 40 and verse 22. And notice what this says. Another profound observation under inspiration that was made many, many years ago. And in verse 22 there, it says, there is one who dwells above the circle or the sphere, literally the sphere of the earth. We take that for granted today, but the Bible described the earth as being the sphere hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Let's continue. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. And notice this, he is stretching out the heavens like a fine gauze. Now that's a fascinating statement. What have scientists discovered? Well, scientists have discovered that the universe is expanding. The Bible says that Jehovah is stretching. It doesn't say that he has stretched. He says he is stretching out the heavens like a fine gauze. And if you hold up a fine gauze and keep stretching it, what do you see? You see little pinpoints of light shining through. What a beautiful illustration we find in the scriptures. And what have scientists proven? They've proven that indeed the universe is expanding. You see, scientists that don't believe in the creator, they minimize stories in the Bible in many cases and make fun of them. But what they really need to do is see the clear message that's found in the Bible, especially when it deals with science, because it's always accurate. Let's finish up verse 22. It says, and he spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. So once again, that thought of stretching something out, if you're building a tent, which way does that tent spread out? It spreads out right to the left, up, down. You're spreading it out. And that's what's happening in the universe today. That's what we see happening. So it is absolutely amazing how the Bible, when it addresses science, is so accurate. And you young ones, you need to remember these points when you're talking to your teachers and instructors that just many times offhandedly will just say things just came about by chance or accident. You need to get, even you younger ones, respectfully get your teachers to really think about some of these deep things from a logical standpoint. And if you have the opportunity, you can show them some fascinating things in the scriptures that are backed up by empirical evidence that's found in science. It really is amazing. Now, what else is special? When we look at the scriptures, something else that we're able to see is that the Bible, the message that's contained in the Bible, it has this amazing, profound power. The words that are in the scriptures, we're told, are really God's message, the creator's message to us, to mankind, to humans. How is that manifested? Well, think about this. Think about people's lives that have been transformed, completely changed. We know so many stories about people that had racial prejudice, that hated people because of of another race, hated them to the point where they would inflict harm. They would kill them in some cases. And what did those individuals do that started to study the Bible? Their lives were transformed. They changed. They realized that, no, we need to show love to all people, that there's a creator that views all people as precious. And all people, no matter what race, are accepted. What's the flip side to that? Well, let's go back to the book that we mentioned, Origin of the Species. If you read the entire title of that book, it goes on and talks about, in the title of the book, Darwin's Origin of Species and Superiority of Races. So think about the atheistic standpoint. It was taught by scientists that certain races are lower than other races, that they're lower on the evolutionary chain. That's what science taught from an atheistic evolutionary standpoint. The Bible has always disagreed with that. We know the truth that Jehovah views people of all races. They're all acceptable to Jehovah. Science, and of course, they've softened that message because that message is not popular anymore. The concept that one race is lesser than another one, scientists that are atheists don't talk about that because it's not the popular thing to talk about right now. But that's absolutely what was taught by scientists not too many years ago. And you should look that up, you young ones. That's what atheistic thinking teaches. And if you think about it, look at some of the worst things that have been done in history. It's by people that they have no moral code. You don't get a moral code from chemicals. You get a moral code, a higher power, which we know is Jehovah God, the one that made us and the universe and instructs us how to live and gives us these qualities that make our lives richer, more meaningful, and allows us to live together in peace and harmony with others. By learning and applying Bible principles, you can personally benefit from Jehovah's guidance. You young ones, look at what's happening in the world today with people that are looked up to, that are stars. They have money, they have power, they're popular. What do we hear? What are these stories we hear? We hear about them having drug abuse problems, suicide, all kinds of stresses and problems in their lives. Whereas Jehovah tells us to live a quiet, simple life, focus on what he wants us to do, and it results in happiness. So you younger ones, sometimes it's hard to really understand that because of limited experience. But older ones, and as you get older, you'll see it more and more how following what Jehovah says will spare you and individuals all kinds of pain that the world is experiencing because they don't have a moral compass. They don't have a moral guide that they're following. But those of us that believe in Jehovah as our loving creator, he shows us how we can have this peace in our life now and have a better life now as well as into the future. As a matter of fact, the Bible promises that if we live according to Jehovah's ways right now, we will benefit right now. In the near future, the Bible tells us that Jehovah God is going to put an end to all the wickedness and badness that we see here on earth. And he will undo the terrible things that have been done by human beings. He'll undo death and sickness and old age. There's no scientist that can do that, only Jehovah God. Yes, if we continue to focus on evidence that Jehovah God created the universe and the world that we're in, and we obey him now, we will have blessings now and into all eternity as we show our appreciation for our grand creator, Jehovah God.
On behalf of the Innes congregation, we want to thank you so much, Brother Stomach,